The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning, how are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement, and I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie, on the Radio Kerry app or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. You can't beat a cup of tea in the morning. I had a quick sip there before the mic went on to kind of gee me up for the programme. The winter is here, isn't it? It's got a bit chilly out there. All of a sudden, the school kids, or the kids went back to school, and the weather changed dramatically. And usually we have a good September, so I'm hoping that it might perk up a bit. But it's actually fine between the showers, but they are some downpours that remind you of April showers, wouldn't they? Very busy programme for you this morning on the Saturday Supplement. We'll hear interviews that I did during the week at the Valentia Island Community Hospital with residents and people involved in the hospital ahead of a huge fundraising event. And we'll also be talking to the famous Colm Cooper, as he'll be on to talk about the Colm Cooper Under 13 Invitational Tournament. You would have heard Abigail Bernard speak to club chairman Owen Brosnan there earlier, and isn't it great to see the way these past players are back with their clubs and invested in their clubs so heavily. And we'll also have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world around the county. And it is, of course, Culture Night coming up this Friday as well. So you can imagine there's lots to talk about, and this county makes an absolutely brilliant effort for Culture Night, so we will have to get to that as well. And, of course, I was listening last night. I caught the tail end of the wonderful commentary with John Drummy and Ramona Keogh. And history was created in Tralee last night as Daniel Lacoute, his goal, snatched an epic FAI quarter-final win for Kerry FC as the Kingdom miraculously came from 3 goals down to win in after extra time and booked their place in their first ever semi-final. This is absolutely unbelievable when you think of the history of that cup, and to think that Kerry FC are only in operation for just a few years. It's quite remarkable, and we're getting, do you know what, we're well used to sporting success this year, aren't we? 5-time cup winner Sligo Rovers looked like they were cruising to a comfortable win when Owen Elding secured his hat-trick to put the visitors 3-0 up just after the hour mark, but a brace from Keane Brosnan and a Joe Adams penalty brought the game to extra time. The impossible became the possible when Brosnan's close range effort kept the Kingdom's FAI Cup dreams alive and forced an extra 30 minutes. The rest was, as they say, history. And it was just brilliant to hear John Drummy and Ramona. They were so excited and so delighted, and they really captured that as well. And even the scenes after, you could visualise them so well with the crowd there. It was a sold out, it was a packed house, so it was absolutely brilliant. So congratulations to them. Now, like I said, during the week, I went to Valentia Community Hospital, and they're organising a fundraiser, Valentia's biggest ever quiz night. Beat the Chaser, Sean Wallace. Now, he's one of the most famous chasers, and he is the special guest, and he's the host from ITV's The Chase. He'll be on the Royal Hotel on the 20th of September. That's today week, and doors open at 7:30 p.m. It's in aid of Valentia Hospital, €25 per person and 5 to a table, and booking is essential, and it's on Eventbrite as well. So I first spoke to those involved in the hospital. I spoke to Marie Neal, Con O'Shea and John Falvey. So have a listen to this.
Hi, I'm Marie O'Neill, ex-committee member. Currently I'm the community employment supervisor and I work out of Valentia Hospital.
I'm John Falvey. I'm a committee member as well, and I'm here with 12, 13 years.
Con O'Shea, committee member on Valentia Hospital Board, here now with 15 years.
Con, if I can start with yourself. Firstly, thanks a million for welcoming me in here. It's an absolutely fantastic facility. I haven't been in here in a while. I can't get over the size of the building and I suppose, how well it's built and how well it looks. Tell us about Valentia Community Hospital.
Yeah, well, I suppose at present we have 24 beds here. 22 of them are full-time residents, and then we've 2 respite beds. We're very proud of what we have here. I suppose we did a massive development there in 2015, 16, 17. We were told that we'd have to upscale, bring our beds up to the 22, 24 beds. We had to find the money for this in the middle of a recession. So we are very proud of what we did and where we've landed now ourselves. So we have 24 residents. We have a staff of between full-time and part-time, something like 35 people. We also, I suppose, another big part of what we do here in Village Island is we run the community centre, which includes everybody. We have people from the play school going there for exercise, the primary school. We go all the way up then as far as active retirement. Day of activities there during the week. So Valencia Hospital really is all about including everybody, and it's not just about Valencia people, it's people all around the Ivra Peninsula. It's about including people, having a good life, a good lifestyle, no matter what stage they're at.
Yeah, and that's an important point. It's not just Valencia Island, because I know talking to people, it's all over South Kerry, and their families get to come here in a kind of a real calm, friendly, homely environment.
Yeah, most of the residents are from around here, from Ivra, and it's very important that you know, they're on the doorstep of their home. Their loved ones or neighbours can come in for even for 15 minutes there regularly, which is very important, instead of everybody calling to them maybe on a Sunday if they were in Tralee or Dingle or Kinmare. When they're here on their own doorstep, people can call into them for 10 or 15 minutes and keep them up to date what's going on around the place. That's very important. So they're feeling at home, as close to being at home as they can all the time.
Marie, there's a lot of activities that go on here as well for the residents.
Yeah, we have somebody doing activities every day with the residents, which is hugely beneficial, and it stimulates them and keeps them, you know, kind of, I suppose, entertained during the day, because the day is long if you're a resident. We also have just recently put in a polytunnel, which we're currently planting and trying to get moving. A good few of the residents are very interested in gardening, and it kind of reminds them of what they did when they were living at home and stuff, which is, you know, really beneficial as well. We're kind of constantly looking at ways to improve the place. You know, it costs a lot of money to maintain it. The hospital, while the funding comes for the beds and everything, the actual maintenance in the building is the responsibility of the committee. So I suppose I kind of help out in looking at ways of getting grants and, you know, maybe getting funds, fundraising, all that type of thing. So that's why we currently are, we have a big fundraiser coming up on the 20th of September. We have Sean Wallace from the ITV The Chase Show. He's coming here to host it for us. It's on in the Royal Hotel. We have tickets on sale on Eventbrite. Tables of 5, and we'd be really grateful of, you know, all the support we can get. It should be a great night, and yeah, if there's people out there that are interested, they can contact me here at Valencia Hospital or go on our Facebook page. We've all the information there.
Yeah, because that's the Sean Wallace. No, it's not a lookalike or anything.
No.
Because he's fairly one of the famous chasers.
Yeah.
So that's a big coup to get him here.
Yeah, well, we were very lucky. We have a contact in London, Mike Curran. He's a local man. He would be friends with Sean. He hosts a quiz every Wednesday night in a bar over there called Angie's. So that's how we got in contact with him. So he's kindly said he'd come, himself and his partner are coming over. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, John Patrick, it's a wonderful facility here. What does it mean to the community of Valencia, do you think, to have such a facility on the island, on their doorstep?
Well, it's obviously very beneficial, because if this didn't exist, people that are here, the residents, would have to go to, the nearest would be Killarrigan, possibly Kinmare, and it would be very awkward for lots of elderly people, especially trying to get transport to those sort of places, because, as you know, the public transport is kind of limited here. So it is very beneficial, and as Marie has said there's a lot of activities here that the residents, again, can avail of, and it keeps them stimulated. And anybody coming in here, they're all praised with the place. We had Michael Cahill here recently, and he said he was very impressed with what he saw, and that would be true of other people that like him that came over time.
It's the little touches as well, Con. I'm just looking around here, even like on the wall, there's windows painted, and it's all these viewing points you could get from Valentia Island. That's very important as well. We've the grotto here. Then you'd be, you know, on the other side of the island looking out at the Skelligs, and even the scene going down by the Royal here in Knightstone. That's very important.
Ah, yeah, these are all familiar sites for the people, residents that are here now, and it makes them really feel at home and familiar with their surroundings. I think it's very important that they feel at home, and they really do. You can see there's a great atmosphere here that it's created. I must say, a great praise goes to the staff. They really put a massive effort into making the place feel very much at home. There's a lovely atmosphere going around. You can see even the staff go around with a smile all day. They're joking and having the crack with the patients. You know, so they feel at home. It's great.
Brilliant. And Marie, a reminder again of that wonderful fundraiser. How can people go about attending or supporting the event?
Okay, so we have a Facebook page, Valentia Island Community Hospital. If you go on there, we have the Eventbrite link. We also have a GoFundMe page for anyone that would like to support it, maybe, and can't attend. I think tickets are €25. It's five to a table. There's only a few tickets left. I think now we're fairly sold. We've about 130 sold out of 200, so we're nearly there. So it'll be starting at 7:30 p.m. Sean Wallace is hosting, and it should be a great night of entertainment, so we'd encourage anyone to get a ticket and come along.
And are contestants going to be brought up out of the audience like the chase, or how does it work?
No, it's going to be a table quiz, so we're going to have 40 tables of five, so it'll just be kind of a regular quiz. Yeah,
that's good, everyone can get involved.
Exactly. Yeah,
very good. And Con, of course, things like this don't just happen. It requires the goodwill and the help and the support of a lot of people, and I know you'd want to thank those.
Yeah, Joe, thank you very much. I would like to take this opportunity to thank people back along the line. I suppose we should start off with during the development of this place. I won't mention any names, but we got a lot of help from politicians. They would be retired politicians and still a few present politicians. They were some great support to us. Local businesses rode in behind us and helped us out. And even the amount of people that took part in the likes of the Ring of Kerry cycle, which we had there over a few years, we created great money. And put it like this, we were taken serious when we had the money from the Ring of Kerry. It was easier going to politicians when we said we had that much in our bank. So I would also like to thank the Ring of Kerry itself for being so generous in giving us the Ring of Kerry for those vital years that we got it. Then again, all the other businesses. But I suppose I must give a massive thank you to all our staff here. They're fantastic. We don't get enough opportunity to say thank you, but we really, really, really genuinely think that they're doing a fantastic job. So I must say thank you very much to them. Also then, for people that do a pile of work, you know, unseen work, like some Marie there now is fantastic in organising these events. Tireless work goes into it. I suppose we'll have to give a big thank you to Michael Curran from Chapeltown, who has been on about this now for a couple of years. When he started talking about this, first I wouldn't have taken the man that serious, but my God, he seems to have delivered to get the likes of Sean Wallace over here to our little Valentia Island Hospital is a fantastic coup. So thank you very much to all involved over the last number of years.
I think you're going to show me outside now. We're going to see this wonderful polytunnel, so I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, that's Con O'Shea there, Marie Neal and John Patrick Falvey. And we did go outside to the polytunnel, so we'll hear that after the break. And we also spoke to some very interesting residents as well.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shop and Seafood Bar, the Mall Tralee. Treat yourself to the freshest takeaway fish and chips today, right in the heart of Tralee.
Yes, this morning we're listening to interviews I did during the week at Valentia Community Hospital ahead of their fundraiser next Saturday, today week, in the Royal Hotel, Valentia's biggest ever quiz night. Beat the chaser, Sean Wallace. And you were hearing a few of the people involved in the Valentia Community Hospital before the break, and they were talking about going outside to look at the polytunnel. And we did go outside, and I spoke to Con O'Shea about this wonderful initiative. Con, we're outside now on the grounds of the hospital, and we're here in this wonderful polytunnel. Describe what we have here.
Well, here now, as you can see, we have a lovely facility. You can even feel the heat here now today. Yeah. But this now, in fairness, entirely goes down to Marie. Marie has been She's had a pain about this now with over 2 years, and the amount of work to follow this through by getting the grant aid for it and getting it off the ground is another example of just the work that she does behind the scenes, start to finish. She deserves 100% gratitude for doing this job. Isn't it a fantastic facility to have here for our residents? We have a couple of keen gardeners here living with us at the moment, and they love coming out here and getting dirt underneath their nails and feeling, you know, active and part of living, you know.
Yeah.
Very, very important. Lovely facility to have. It's only open now with a couple of months. So, great.
And I noticed the layout of the place. It's very wheelchair accessible. The beds are actually raised beds. They're up, you know, at a level that you could you don't have to bend over to go at them. So that's important as well.
Yeah, as you can see, everybody has access here to these raised beds. Even with a wheelchair, people can come in and park underneath them there, put their knees underneath them, and go fiddling around there in the soil. And it's lovely. It's very therapeutic there for patients just to be handling soil. And, you know, back in their younger days, they can be, you know, they can be anywhere, you know, and it's just giving them another thing to do here, you know, and it just makes them feel alive and part of something, yeah.
Yeah, and there's several studies about watching things grow and creating, you know, plant life and creating life through planting. So that's important as well.
It is. Isn't it lovely to start? Look at the colours that we have here now today. Isn't it lovely? These were all sat by the residents. And isn't it lovely to nourish these plants and watch them growing to what the lovely colours and the smells. Even if you smell them there now, they're, you know, it's fantastic. You know, it's simple, but it's, you know, it's what life is all about, isn't it? You know, the simple things sometimes. The colour that we have here, from a seed to this fantastic view, smell is lovely.
Excellent. Well, we might go in now and meet some of those residents.
My name is Anne Egan, and I'm from Tullara in County Clare.
I'm Sean Keane, and from Tralee.
Anne, how are you finding the place? How long have you been here now?
About 2 years, yeah. 2.5 years roughly. Uh-huh. I like the place. I love the place. There's a calming, I don't know what, aura over the place. Mm. But it's lovely to just sit down in the evening when you're finished your day's work,
yeah,
and listen to the birds and don't mind the farmers put time to put them to bed and to sleep. And just take it from there. It is a beautiful place.
Yeah. And how is a Clare woman getting on in Kerry? Are you all right with it?
I have to put my own little stamp on the Clare, the Clare bend of it. I'm not too far away from Spanish Point.
Oh, lovely.
If you heard of it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of between Spanish Point and Kerry.
Yeah, very good. Very similar.
Yeah, very.
Both beautiful places. Mm.
And have everything to offer the person that comes visiting them.
Very good. Geez, you'll get a tourism job with Clare if you keep going.
I'm going to be grand.
Tell us, what do you get up to here of a day?
Well, when I started here, was involved with the kitchens, the tea, bit of everything.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out that I loved the place.
Yeah.
I loved it before I moved, actually, down to live in it.
Yeah.
But it really surpassed itself when I moved to live in it. Mm. Oh, it was a beautiful place.
Mm.
And I would recommend it for anyone that needed a bit of a G-up if they had been sick.
Yeah.
Brilliant place to be. So there are loads of little areas where people, you can go to the big high yoke up in the hill.
Mm-hmm.
The
Foher Cliffs?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's another one, which is
Bray Tower?
No, I wouldn't touch Bray Tower. Bray Tower and me now wouldn't get on at all.
You look fine and fit that you could be able to do that.
I'd try it, but no, I wouldn't. I haven't managed it as yet.
Yeah, very
But I haven't said I've given up on it either.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes as the time goes on and see what'll happen.
Do you do a bit of gardening?
Yes.
Yeah.
My daughter is a horticulture.
Okay.
And she loves the life out of doors.
And was she a bit, did she help and did she advise in your polytunnel out here?
Oh, she did. And if there's anything wrong, I'm the one that'll run to her. Say, come back here now and do what you said you were going to do.
You've a mate here next to you, Sean. Tell us about yourself, Sean. Where are you originally from?
Well, Tralee.
Okay. And how do you find the place?
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. You know, and I look forward now to coming here. You know, every day. Mm-hmm. And I made a lot of friends here, and but I suppose all I can say is that it's really great.
Mm. That company is important, isn't it? You know, the social aspect.
It is. The social aspect is very important, and also that if you were worried about anything, you can talk with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the important part about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, otherwise, where would you go?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's very important, that aspect.
Mm. Do you stay here or do you just use the place during the day?
I stay here at the moment because I'm between houses.
Very good, very good. And it's a lovely place to stay.
Oh, beautiful place.
Yeah.
It is a very, very special place.
Mm. Do you agree with that, Sean?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Like, I stay here as well.
Yeah.
And look forward to it, you know.
Yeah.
I was dubious about it like, in the beginning, you know. And, but like, it got nice every time I think about it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's only getting better.
Yeah, and that's brilliant, isn't it? Because I imagine there'd be a bit of fear at the start, you know, moving into a new place like that.
Of course, it was really worrying about it, you know, because I suppose it's like anything, like, you know, when you go into a new place.
Yeah.
But they were very kind to us, you know,
mm-hmm.
to me anyway, and I'm sure that goes with that lady.
Yeah.
And that's important, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I suppose I thought really in the beginning that I was being pushed aside.
Yeah.
But it's not like that at all.
Mm. But that's more than bricks and mortar, isn't it? Like, we're talking about, you know, fundraising for this wonderful facility. But that goes down to the people that are here so as well.
Oh, God, yes. I tell you, you know, we're really proud of the place, you know.
Yeah.
And I hope to God that we get the opportunity of doing something, because it really is very good.
Yeah.
And I can only say more and more and more about it.
Mm.
I didn't think I'd like it in the beginning.
Yeah.
When I left Tralee and decided to come here, I said I might be here for a week.
Mm.
Well, I'm many weeks here now.
Yeah, and no regrets.
None whatsoever.
Mm. That's important what you're saying, Sean, there. That'll help a lot of people, because a lot of people have that trepidation when they go to a new place like this. And I think that's important, the words that you're saying.
Yes, that it is important. And, you know, we when someone new comes in, we help them.
Yes. The residents themselves. That's excellent,
Because we're just residents, like.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And it's important.
Yeah. You have a bit of music here as well, don't you? Does Joshua play a bit of music for you every so often?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very good.
And do you join in?
Oh, yeah. And we'd, if we weren't as stiff as we are, we'd get a few old dances out of it. But it's kind of trying to coax it.
Yeah.
Because we're all full of arthritis and everything that goes with it.
Yeah, but should the dancing will help that?
That's what we're trying to convince him, but I don't know how we convinced him yet.
Really? Thanks a million for talking to me. And you're well able to talk. You're great ambassadors for Valencia Community Hospital. So thanks a million for talking to me. It's lovely meeting you.
That's good. Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, I really enjoyed my time at Valencia Community Hospital, and we're going to meet a few more of the residents and a few more of the characters as well after this break.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's The Mad Monk in Killarney. Serving the finest seafood in a cosy modern atmosphere. Book your special experience today at seafoodbar.com.
Whoa, that's an amazing clip there on Kerry Today. What a powerful piece of radio, and the power of radio just shows as well. And I'm glad everyone is doing well there. Get in touch with us, 066-712-3666. Dervla's take your calls. You can text the WhatsApp on 083-300-3300. And Catherine Ahern, long-time listener to the programme from Ballylongford, gets in touch. Good morning, Joe. Our son, Eamon, is celebrating his birthday tomorrow. It feels like such a short time ago. He was 5, and now we have to add a 0 to that. Happy birthday, Eamon. Love from Mum, Dad and all the family. What a wonderful message. And Catherine, I hope you're doing well, and I hope you enjoy the birthday celebrations tomorrow. Now it's time to return to Valentia Community Hospital, where I met some more of the residents. Mary Sheehan. And Mary, you used to own a very famous shop in Carsfeen, used you?
Yes.
The Provincial, was it?
Provincial Store, as we used to call it, yes.
Yeah. And what used to you sell there, can you remember?
Everything.
Yeah.
Furniture and everything.
Yeah. Do you know, when it was coming to, we were in our house, we might leave Christmas shopping, go a bit late, and it was always Christmas Eve, we'd run to the Provincial, and we were guaranteed to get all the presents we wanted there for grandparents, for parents, and for everyone else. It was a great shop.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we got tired of it and the children didn't want to take it over, so we moved on.
But you'd get anything inside in that shop, wouldn't you? It was like a hardware as well, wasn't it?
It was, yes, yeah. Yes.
It's lovely speaking to you. And are you enjoying yourself here?
Yes.
Yeah? And you're looking great. Do you know, you're looking, you remind me, I'm talking about when I was going to Christmas Eve, I was going to the shop when I was a child.
Yeah.
You looked the same then. You looked the same now as you did then.
Really?
Yeah. What's the secret?
Old age.
And who am I talking to now?
Sheila Keating.
Sheila, where are you from, Sheila?
Carsfeen.
Oh, lovely. And what, do you enjoy, you know, using this facility here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And do you go gardening? Do you like gardening?
A little bit around here, yeah.
Yeah. And what do you do? Do you grow flowers or plants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different, like.
Mm-hmm. A place like this, it's important to come in and have an old chat as well and have the cup of tea.
True, yeah.
And you enjoy that aspect of it.
Yeah, very good.
It was nice talking to you. You're also well-dressed. Is there a dress code inside here that you have to dress up to the nines when you come in here?
It was at the weekend.
Yeah.
And yourself, tell us your name, where you're from.
I'm Celestine, is my Christian name.
Mm-hmm.
Bowles is my surname.
Yeah.
And I'm from Kilnagar, Claremorris, County Mayo.
County Mayo. And this is like the UN here. We have people from Clare, we have people from Mayo. And do you like coming here, or do you like being a resident here?
Oh, I do. I've got a house here as well.
Yeah.
I was brought up on a farm.
Yeah.
The pigs and the sheep and the cattle in Mayo. So
yeah.
I've seen both sides of it, but it's Ireland. There's nowhere like it.
Yeah. Mm. And Valentia Island's a beautiful place, isn't it?
Yes, I've been all over the place.
Yeah.
My husband has Irish background and he loves it here, and he travels a lot in his job, so the weekend to him was going to some part of Kerry or Cork or somewhere like that, which he would normally deal with it. Yeah.
Like, when you think about it, people come from all over the world to holiday on Valentia Island, and you get to do it as you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I've been on lots of other islands, and obviously they're very beautiful and the sun shines on them, I think. But there is something special about the islands around here that you don't get. So.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Wonderful.
Lovely speaking to you.
Thank you.
I'm Donald O'Shea, Rossmore Tahala.
We were talking earlier, and you were involved in Seine Boats and Sneem. So people listening to this, you're quite famous out that way. Tell us about the Seine Boat you were involved in.
Oh, the Seine Boat. So, you know, there's 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
There's 12 oarsmen.
Mm-hmm.
Two knee sore. Six oars, two knee sore.
And you were the cox. So you were the man steering.
I was the cox.
Mm. And tell us about your crew. Were they a good crew?
Well, we made sure that I stuck to the best ones.
A selective process.
Yeah, a selective process.
And you said they were a great crew to me earlier, and I asked you, why were they a great crew? And you told me, why were they a great crew?
I made them good.
And the name of that boat, it's a famous boat.
The Creation.
The Creation.
The Creation from steam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who was it built by?
Built by the locals. We all took a hand in it.
Yeah, the community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Used to train a lot back then?
Oh, man. Train. We trained hard. Mm. Trained hard. And if Mike Mutt ever beat us, we'd train to beat him again.
He was your rival, the Liberator.
He was our rival. Yeah, he was our rival.
Yeah.
Jack Casey of the Cox.
Yeah. The rowing is such a huge part of life South Kerry, isn't it?
Oh yeah, rowing is which is one of the sports, like, you know. Mm.
Did you grow up with boats all your life?
I did. Since I was able to walk.
Really?
Yeah.
And was it fishing or rowing?
Oh, fishing. Fishing.
Tell us about the fishing. What would you fish for?
Oh, you'd fish for everything. Everything that moved, like, you know. Mm. Yeah.
And would you go in a small boat, a punt?
You would. Small boat. That's all we had at the time. Uh-huh. Small boats.
Was your father a fisherman?
He was. He was. And a good fisherman.
Yeah.
He was.
What made him good?
I suppose that's it all his life.
Yeah.
You know?
And would he teach you things then? Was it handed down?
It was handed down. Mm. So it was up to me to learn, you know?
Yeah. And would you fish with nets?
Well, we would.
And you'd mend the nets?
Oh, yeah. He was a dab-handed mending nets.
Yeah.
You know what?
Was it a tough life as a fisherman?
Tough life.
Yeah.
Tough life, but you get to like it, like, you know.
Yeah.
You get to like it.
So you've salt water in the veins?
I have salt water in the veins.
And is it important then to be on an island then where you're surrounded by salt water?
Exactly, it is. It is. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And regattas are still going strong, aren't they?
Regattas are still going strong.
Mm. Because I did a documentary a few years ago on the same boat, and when I did it, there was only two same boats in the water.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's revitalised again. There's a lot of same boats in the water.
About six same boats now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And would you keep an interest in it all the time?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm blind, like.
Yeah.
I'm blind. I can't see anything.
But you can see that in your head, I'd imagine.
I can.
Do you go through old races now in your head? Would you remember them?
I do.
Yeah. What's a race that stands out to you, a regatta that stands out to you?
I couldn't pick any particular one. You know.
But what would be your favourite regatta to have gone to compete in?
The Castaway Regatta.
Why that one?
I don't know, but that was the one. You met Mike Mutt in his home waters, like, you know.
You're a real competitor, I'd say, were you?
Jesus. Oh, man.
That's an understatement, I'd say.
Oh, man, that's an understatement.
Yeah. And you'd like to meet your rival in his home patch.
Oh, in his home patch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And beat him there as well.
And what about the Sneem Regatta then? Was there one then?
Oh, there was.
Was there, yeah.
Oh, there was.
But if you won at home, I'd imagine that'd be special.
Oh, Jesus, to be special.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ, you had to win at home. Uh-huh. You had to win at home.
What makes a good cox? Because there'll be people listening to you now. You're a legendary figure in the sport.
I am, but I'm not going to divulge any secrets.
Oh, my God. You wouldn't pass it on to the next cox?
No. 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 No.
Would you give me any hint? Would it be a steely determination?
I wouldn't give you any hint, no. Because you might pass it on, you see.
Well, there's 40,000 people listening to this, so.
I know.
You're cute out.
I know.
Are you enjoying yourself here?
I am enjoying myself very well.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful spot, like a beautiful place to come to.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the chat is important, isn't it?
Oh, very important.
Yeah.
Oh, very important.
Uh-huh. Do you know, I was looking the other day, the same boat races now, they have drones, so you can actually see the roundings from the air.
What, exactly, yes, yeah. You can. I never did see one, but yeah. They have drones, all right.
It's amazing, isn't it? So you can actually see how to improve. I'd imagine you'd be glued to the television seeing how you could improve, or did you need no improvement?
Well, I'd like to have seen the drones,
yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
I'd like to see drones,
uh-huh.
But they weren't there in my time.
Yeah. No. Is there anyone you want to say hello to?
Anybody that knows me.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's a good political answer. So you're not going to give me your tips and your cute out in
the... No. No.
I might turn off this and I might ask you again. It was lovely meeting you.
Yeah.
And thanks very much. You're very generous with your time. And thanks for having the chat with me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
A Bula bus there, everyone. Yeah, brilliant, and really enjoyed my time, like I said, and thanks a million to everyone for the great welcome, and thanks to Marie Neal for inviting me along, and hello to all the staff and all the patients, all the residents of Valentia Hospital as well. And they have the big fundraiser. It's Valentia's biggest ever quiz night. Beat the Chaser. Sean Wallace from The Chase is the special guest and host from ITV's The Chase in the Royal Hotel the 20th of September, which is next Saturday. Doors open at 7:30 p.m. Aid of the Valentia Hospital, €25 per person, 5 to a table. Booking is essential, limited spaces, and you can go on Eventbrite there as well to book your place. It promises to be a great night, and we wish them all the best in that and all the best in the future as well. Just another message as well that came in here, a good few messages coming in. Enjoying your lovely, gentle interviews this morning with everyone from Valentia Community Hospital. We're so lucky to have local places like this that look after people. Good luck with their fundraising drive. We are going to have lots more coming up on the programme, and we are going to be looking just after the break. I did a documentary a good few years ago now with the Knight of Kerry. And we spoke about the history of the Valentia Hospital as well. So we'll just be looking into that for a moment after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across the county. Serving the freshest seafood to Kerry families since 1963.
That's what you're listening to, and we were talking about the Valentia Community Hospital. In 1870, the redundant wooden transatlantic terminus building at Fialamhram in Valentia was presented to the people of Valentia Island to be used as a hospital. The building was dismantled and re-erected at Knightstown on a site provided by Sir Peter Fitzgerald, the Knight of Kerry. Since then, Valentia Island Hospital has provided over a century and a half of unbroken service and care to not only the people of Valentia, but also to the greater Ivara and seafarers using Valentia Harbour. Under the building of the bridge, until the building of the bridge connecting the island to the mainland in 1970, a full range of medical and surgical services were provided, and the hospital today has continued to adapt and meet the changing needs and demands of the community. Originally in the trusteeship of local Catholic and Church of Ireland clergy, assisted by a local committee, the hospital was supported by donations and local fundraising. Today the hospital is administered by a committee. The association has a voluntary board of directors and elected membership. It's a fascinating story, and a building that has some huge history, and it has wonderful facilities. But like I mentioned before the break, we did a documentary with Sir Adrian Fitzgerald called The Last Knight, about the Knight of Kerry and the influence they had on Valentia Island. And I went along to the wonderful heritage centre that's there in Knightstown, and I met Marie Williams. And I spoke to her about a lady that was involved in the donating the site where the Valentia Hospital now stands. We'll have a listen to that.
Now, after Peter... Now we're up to the 20th knight, Maurice Fitzgerald, born in 1844, died in 1916. He had a very successful career in the army, serving in the Ashanti War in South Africa and in Canada. He did not return immediately to Valentia upon his father's death, and the estate was managed by his brother Robert. Now this gentleman, Maurice Fitzgerald, in 1882 he married Amelia Bischofheim, who was a daughter of a Jewish banking family, a German Jewish banking family, And she came to live on Valentia. They had houses in London and in Newmarket, and by 1911 the family had moved their permanent home to Buckinghamshire in England. But the house in Glanleen was kept for holidays. She started various industries, like 11. We are told that 100 families, 100 women, were knitting, and the knitting was sold in Dublin and other places, of course, and it was all through this lady. She was also very gracious. Again, she started the hospital. Or, when I say started it, she was probably instrumental in the night allowing the land to be used for a hospital, which exists to this day. So where she could help the islanders, she did. And she had the resources, the financial resources to do so. But there is perhaps one interesting thing. When they were knitting to sell this knitting to make money, they were actually knitting jerseys, I presume for the crew, of the White Star Line, of which was the Titanic.
Yeah, it's fascinating history there. Amazing. And like I said, that Heritage Centre is unbelievable, what they've collected and preserved for the future as well. We received a message there. I received a message in relation to the, you know, we do our In Focus photography slot every once a month, the first Saturday of every month with Dominic Walsh. And the theme for next month is A Day in September I'll Always Remember. Well, someone took a collection of photos around a kite surfer. Now, if you've ever seen it, it's a surfer with a surfboard attached to a kite. I wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't recommend anyone doing it if they weren't trained in doing it. And the message goes, I was in Banna today, Friday the 12th of September, around 8 p.m, and there was a man kite surfing. We waited for a bit to see if he was going to stop so we could run over, but no luck. I got these pictures of him and just thought maybe he would want them. I have no idea who he is, but me and my partner would like to get these photos of them to him because he did an unreal job out there. So we've put up the photos on our Facebook page. So if you know that person, their photos are there. So we'd like him to get them. But again, like we're saying, like all sea sports, be very safe and be safety conscious once out there, because it's not for the faint-hearted. And as we know, the conditions can change at a moment's notice as well. Now we're coming up to the 10 o'clock news, and after that we are going to be talking about the Cullum Cooper Under 13 tournament of 2025, because it's taking place today, as you would have heard, and we'll be speaking to the man himself. We'll also have a scale on Sean Knuckle, and we will have Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world coming up to Culture Night this Friday.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by the new family fish box at Quinlan's Seafood Bars, packed with golden fish goujons, fresh squid, delicious prawns and tasty homemade chips. Order yours to take away today
with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Yes, you're welcome along to the second hour of the programme. If you've just joined us, you're very welcome. And if you've been with us all morning, thanks a million. We appreciate it. Get in touch with us, 066-712-3666. Dervla's taking your calls. You can text WhatsApp, 083-300-3300. Very shortly, we'll be talking about the Cullum Cooper Under 13 Invitational Tournament. But before that, let's have another episode of The Scale and Sean Knuckle. In this 20-part series, we aim to discover the meaning of these wonderful Irish phrases that have been used in the Irish language for many years. Produced by Maury Nivahoon and presented by the students of Scolvihill Nefa in Ballinskellig. We will explore a wide range of Sean Knuckle throughout the series. To aid the students in this, we'll hear from Sean O'Line, a native of Ballinskellig, and a Cantor Dukas, to discuss the real meaning behind these old Irish proverbs. And here is episode 18 of 20. This documentary is a Maury Nivahoon production. It was funded by Commission na Mann with the television licence fee.
Ashgrin and Puka Lane Chefin.
Erska Akila Avarnadina.
Ahanin Kiro Kiro Ella.
Managurhe Tusan Arachni Vinig Tisa Moore.
Garian Bert Boher.
Every day in school, we hear the teacher mention a Sean Uckle. where we see posters of them up around the classroom. Our grandparents and parents sometimes use them in passing in conversation. Sometimes the meaning is simple and easily understood, and other times the message is a bit more complex. I want to explore how these old Irish proverbs came about and really understand the true meaning behind them. In this series, join me and my classmate from Scovahill Naifa, Ballinasceilix, County Kerry, as we explore what these old Irish sayings are all about and how they add so much to the Irish language.
An rud a scrín an púca léinn sé féine.
Scá a chéile a bhar na daoine.
Aithnín ciorog ciorog eile.
Mana gurthe tú san a rach ní bhuinnig tú sa bhúr.
Gurion Bert Bohar. Every day in school, we hear the teacher mention a Seán Uachtain, or we see posters of them up around the classroom. Our grandparents and parents sometimes use them in passing in conversation. Sometimes the meaning is simple and easily understood, and other times the message is a bit more complex. I want to explore how these old Irish proverbs came about and really understand the true meaning behind them. In this series, join me and my classmate from Scovahill Naifa, Ballinasceilix, County Kerry, as we explore what these old Irish sayings are all about and how they add so much to the Irish language.
Deed, it's Misha Olin O'Sullivan. I'm in third class in Scovahill Naifa and Ballinasceilix, County Kerry. Today I'm going to find out the real meaning behind the Seán Uachtain, Níor gcóig Seán Cat é Féin Riamh.
Níor gcóig Seán Cat é Féin Riamh. This is another Seán Uachtain with reference to cats. They really loved cats back in the day, huh? I don't think I've ever heard this one before. Let's see if we can figure out what it means.
Seán Cat is an old cat. What does doing mean?
Doig means to burn.
An old cat never burned himself before. What does that mean?
I've never heard that one before.
I'm excited to hear the meaning behind this one. Níor gcóig Seán Cat é Féin Riamh.
What?
To explain to us all about Seán Uachtain and to find out the real meaning behind various ones, today we are going to hear from Sean O'Line. Sean is a native of Ballinasceilix and was an Irish teacher and previder in Chláiste Éin in Dublin.
Now let's hear from our expert Sean O'Line as he explains the Seán Uachtain, Níor gcóig Seán Cat é Féin Riamh.
Níor gcóig Seán Cat é Féin Riamh. Cad is scéile sin? Cad is scéile sin? Níor gcóig. Rud a hó. Cad a hó tú? I burden. Doing Rodin, couldn't so go on to Rodin. That there's no one should piece of paper of war. Can't go in there. Shaps, sir?
Tina.
Say Tina, Anna, what? Shanahat, your boy, she, Henry, you can't go on the Anakina?
Tina.
Anakina, Tina. You can't go on the Anakina. Can't fall. Anna, what? But on Tina. That's te and the speech of Bordeaux. Right? And the what? So, you know, if you cut the knife in the tin, ah, me ain't you stacks it in the real. Me won't you in. Me won't you in. Now, cut the skill of shit. Me no hella of shit. No, the bean shifts you ex north. There's your moon to it. Me ain't you a max of value. Can't fall. Tash your dying chair. Tash your dying chair. I was the father of Lord. She named Far. Go with a moon towards Narvin Mordanta. No, tear Amma and Jin. Tash your dying chair. Fan Lumsa, I respect to its snarf. She didn't kill a talish and Shanok and Jin. Near Roy Shanahat, a him real. Mar. Tán cat cíldur, agus tá siúsi cíldur cóma.
I níag a céile a hóctar na caislán.
Cosida ar gáwar is gáwar fós é.
Ná bach le mach an vacig is ní vacig, mach an vacig lát.
Is far rib ma na drá hiasim.
Ní ma a híltar
Avita.
Irish Seanáchail are old Irish proverbs full of knowledge, humour and wisdom. Seanáchail are a unique part of the Irish language and support the rich Irish culture and heritage that has been around for thousands of years. Join me and my classmates from Scurvy Hill neighbour, Ballina Skelligs, on a journey of discovery as we explore these popular old Irish proverbs.
Iníag a chéile a thógtar na caislán.
Cosida ar gáir is gáir fósa.
Ná bach le mac an bhacig is ní bhacig, mac an bhacig leat.
Is far rith ma na drá yasim.
Ní ma a hiltar a bhítar.
Irish Seanáchail are old Irish proverbs full of knowledge, humour and wisdom. Seanáchail are a unique part of the Irish language and support the rich Irish culture and heritage that has been around for thousands of years. Join me and my classmates from Scurvy Hill neighbour, Ballina Skelligs, on a journey of discovery as we explore these popular old Irish proverbs.
Yeah, that's episode 18 of The Scale on Seanáchail, and produced by Máirid na Bhuana and ably assisted there by Cointeoir Dúchas Micheál O'Lyne from Ballinskelligs and the school children of Scurvy Hill Naefa. What a wonderful job they did. Just two more episodes to go on that, and we're finding out all about the stories behind the Seanáchails. Now it's time for this.
The Cullum Cooper Under 13 Tournament Update, brought to you in association with Utility Trust Energy, your trusted energy saving partner.
Yeah, the Cullum Cooper Under 13 Invitational Tournament is back, bigger and better than ever. Eight teams competing this year from Galway, Monaghan, Carlow, Kildare, Cork and Kerry. Unique blitz style format inspired by Cullum's iconic number 13 jersey on the 13s. 13 aside and 13 minutes per half. And who better to speak about this? Only the legend, Kerry player himself. Cullum Cooper is on the line. Cullum, you're very welcome this morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very good. Yeah, the sun is shining so far in Killarney, so we're looking forward to a festival of football. So hopefully the weather will be on our side.
Yeah, and that's it. It's a festival of football, and it's a tournament that's going from strength to strength each year.
It is, yeah. It's going a number of years now, and huge work, to be fair, has been done by the committee and Dr. Crokes, and I'm honoured, privileged, I suppose, that they've held a competition in my name. I suppose I've had some of the best days of my life in the Dr. Crokes jersey, and it's probably where my football started. So it's great to keep that tradition going. And I suppose for myself and the Cooper family, who've been steeped in Crokes for so long, it's nice that we keep that tradition going. But most of all, for the kids who come and travel from around the country, I suppose we're very lucky, I feel, in Kerry, where we have excellent underage competitions in the county and both in the regional divisions as well. But I suppose this is a little bit different in terms of giving players the opportunity to play against teams from other counties. And they seem to love it. So it's gone from strength to strength. And we're hoping to see another great day of quality football. And as I always say to the kids, it's not so much about the winning today, but it's the experience and another step in their footballing career that hopefully they'll remember for a long time to come.
Yeah, and it's a unique age, 13, you know, when it comes to football, because you're going into your teenage years, and some kids would be late developers too, and even later than that. Can you take me back to when you were 13? What was it like for you as a young lad playing, and who were the mentors that kind of helped you at that time?
Yeah, so I suppose, look, I remember my underage days in Dr. Crokes very fondly, and you're right, about the age of 13, it's a big transition. Most students are probably going from primary to secondary school as well, and so it can be a tricky time. But funny enough, Utility Trust, who sponsored the competition, James Fleming, who was a great teammate of mine, it was actually his father, Tighe Fleming, who was one of my first coaches. He'd be well known in the Killarney and Kerry area. And I was probably one of the smallest guys on the team all the way up, and we didn't have a strong team. We probably lost more games than we won. So that's probably, there's a lesson in that for players, just to keep going no matter how good or bad the days are, and keep enjoying with your friends. And I was probably a late developer in that regard. So there's always time for kids to develop, even if you're if you're not one of the best players on the team at the moment, that there's no reason why you can't go on and play with your club at senior level, or indeed go on and play at county level, because we've seen players. Paul Murphy is one of the Kerry players that springs to mind for me that probably didn't play a lot of underage football and went on and played. So there is that opportunity to continue your development, and sometimes it can come a little bit later.
Mm. People listening to this now will want to talk about your own career as well, because what a star-studded career it has been. Can you kind of, I suppose, a highlight? I know it's a difficult question, but a highlight of your career, what stands out?
That's a difficult question, I suppose. It is and it isn't, I suppose. Look, I was very fortunate that I just came along at a really lucky time, both with Kerry and Dr. Crokes, I suppose. Mm. With the Kerry lads, you still had the three O'Shea's, you had Seamus Moynihan, Mike Frank Russell, Derek Nader. So much talent on board, and I came in and things just worked very well from the first year. And we had some fantastic days, and I suppose the day you win your first All-Ireland is a very special day you never forget. So 2004 for me against Mayo, I think I was only about 20 or 21. So that was a very special day, and I suppose all my family were in Croke Park that day, so we had very fond memories. And the other one, I suppose, that stands out was probably the one for Dr. Crokes within the All-Ireland club. For us as a team, we had come so far, we'd got close so many times, we'd been in the finals, we'd lost replays, but to get over the line in Croke Park in 2017 and win that All-Ireland club, that was a very, very special one, and it still lives fondly in the memories.
Mm. You're well known now as a pundit on television as well. What was that transition like for you, and do you enjoy it?
I've probably done less in the last year or two because we've two young kids now, so I don't get to travel as much as I used to. So I'm changing more nappies now than going to football matches. But no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Look, nothing beats being in the dressing room with your players and your teammates and the ups and downs of what goes on the pitch. But look, it's a different angle. There's certainly probably an entertainment value in it as well. So I've enjoyed it, and it's nice to meet some of the players that you would have been soldiering against, really, and to get their reflection and get their take on the game, because the beauty of GAA and the beauty of sport is everyone has a different opinion and a different take, and that's good. Mm. That's good that we have a mixture of views. So I've enjoyed it. Probably doing less of it in the last while, but we'll see how it goes in the future.
And speaking about enjoying it, a lot of people seem to have enjoyed the football this summer in comparison to previous years. The new rules, they've been kind of an overwhelming success, haven't they? And especially when it ends up that Sam O'Quarrie is back in the county.
Yeah, well, I think we adapt very quickly and carried it to our advantage, and we've shown that this year. Mm. I think they've been very good, to be fair. I think, to be fair to Jim Gavin and our own Eamon Fitzmaurice, who sat in the FRC, they've done an amazing job with it. There's no doubt that the game had gone stale, and you could see that from falling attendances. But even the players themselves, I think, were a little bit tired of it. So from my viewpoint, we go to watch Gaelic football to see the top players playing and showing their skill level, and I think we saw that this year, and I think it's been a resounding success. I know that there's talks of tinkering with a couple of more rules, but maybe if they do that and maybe leave it then for 5 years, I think sometimes we can do a little bit too much tinkering in the GAA, but there's no doubt that the rules have changed, and they've suited Kerry, but Kerry have taken advantage as well, because I think our skill level, I always feel, is a little bit higher than most other counties, and that has given us a distinct advantage. And to be fair to the Kerry lads, once they got the Croke Park this year, they were a revelation, and that peaked in an All-Ireland final win against Donegal when they were awesome. So long may it continue.
Yeah, I would have imagined you would have liked if they brought it in a few years earlier, because it would have definitely suited your style of play.
It certainly would, and there might have been a little bit more space. But I'm enjoying looking in, and the beauty of watching Kerry at the moment is I still feel there's a little bit more under the bonnet, and I think there's more to come, which is exciting for us as supporters and exciting for the team as well, I think. So I think there's more good days to come.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. Look, you mentioned a few times there your family, and you know, it's obvious that you're a family man, and today is such a special tournament for the club and for yourself, but it must be great to have your wife and your kids, Conall and Colm Oge, there as well today in this wonderful celebration.
Yeah, it's great to have that opportunity to do it up in Dr. Crokes, and Katie Leash and Colm Oge and Conall are looking forward to it. and my brothers and sisters will be up there as well. So, look, we're steeped in GAA, and look, we'll give our two lads the opportunity to play as well. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but we'll give them a taste of it all and see what falls from them. So, look, and most of all, I suppose from Dr. Cokes for giving us the platform to be able to host a competition like this. And there's a lot of great Dr. Cloak stalwarts that could have hosted the competition, but to have my name attached to it, we feel honoured and privileged. And I suppose my life started with Dr. Cloak, and I'm coaching with the under-sixes up there now, and it's kind of gone full circle. So I'm sure I'll be involved for many days to come.
Yeah, and I was just thinking there, you know, there's people coming from all over the country now to this, and the parents will be coming as well. And that's the great thing about GAA, like, you know, even when I was playing, you'd go around parts of the county that you wouldn't normally go to, you know, when you're visiting different clubs and playing in different places. So you get to see the world as well, and there are memories that last a lifetime, especially at that age.
They are, absolutely, and they're friendships that last a lifetime too. You know, you meet players from different areas, and you might go to school or go to college, and it develops from there. So that's the beauty of the GAA. It's probably one of its greatest strengths in terms of the network of people that you build through it, and that you keep in constant contact with and friendship with, and the banter. And I suppose we're just lucky that the GAA gives us that opportunity to do. And you're right, there's people coming from all over the country today. And I would reach out to anybody in the Killarney area today. It's on until 6 o'clock. The finals will be starting at 4:20, but it's starting at 11 o'clock. If you're in town and you have an hour to spare, come up. You can have a coffee watching the matches, and you'll get a sense of what it's all about. So if you're in the area, please pop in.
Very good. And you mentioned Utility Trust, which are the sponsors, James Fleming and the Coffey family as well, have donated medals and trophies, and they've been long-time supporters of the tournament. So like Colm said, you're encouraging everyone to go along for what promises to be a great day. Colm, I'll leave you get to it, because you've lots to do today and lots of fun and excitement on the way. But for now, thanks a million for coming on, and continued success with the tournament.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
That is Colm Cooper there, and like Colm said, if you're around Killarney or you're in the area, or maybe you want to pay a special visit to it, you should go along there. It'll be a fantastic day. Hi Joe, the weather should be good for the Colm Cooper Under 13 tournament, a great competition to have. And that comes in from Charles. Thanks a million for that. Keep those messages coming in, 066 712 3666. You can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300. We'll go to a break with more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Enjoy a simple, healthy and easy dinner solution with Quinlan's fresh, ready-made seafood meals. Available in-store.
That's what you're listening to, and people are getting in touch with me asking me about the theme for In Focus with Dominic Walsh, renowned photographer. And the theme is A Day in September I'll Always Remember, because I said to Dominic, I was at the Cahir Sivean races, which we often went to with horses as well. Now we used to compete in it as well, but we were there. Was it 2 weeks ago now? I think it was. They actually did a lovely piece to people that had passed away, and they had a piece dedicated to my father, Gerald McGill, as well, because he would have trained the horses with us, and we used to bring them along. So that was lovely to see it in the programme. So well done to them. But it was a great day. Jeez, the crowd was unbelievable, and the weather was outstanding. But there is a song written by Sigerson Clifford called A Day at the Races in Cahir Sivean, and that's the way it starts. It was a day in September I'll always remember. And that is the theme for your photos. So you'll have to kind of, you know, use your brain a bit now. Try and think outside the box, as Dominic Walsh always says, and come up with an interesting photo. And remember, it's the stories of the photo as well. What makes this photo a day in September? Maybe it's just you took it in September and it was a memorable day, or it's a memorable photo. And you can email it to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie. That's jmcgill@radiokerry.ie before midday Wednesday, before the first Saturday of the month. I was just looking at a Facebook memory came up there from 5 years ago. That would have been the height of COVID, wouldn't have been September 2020. And I'm there with my father-in-law at Cahir Bingo at the Glenbeglin Cahir GAA Club had a Cahir drive-in bingo, and it was a fantastic day. But isn't it mad to think that we were doing bingo in cars back then? But that day was just excellent. It was so well organised by the club and the crowds that were there. And you tune in your radio of the car to the compere, to the MC, and you'd be able to do your bingo. And I think it was maybe the second or third time I've ever done bingo. And my father-in-law was like Rain Man with two books, and I was struggling on my one book. It was a great day. We've lots more to come on the programme. We will have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom. And of course, it is coming up to Culture Night this Friday, and I'd recommend everyone to go along to an event in your locality for that. But we'll be finding out all about it after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Take the fear out of fish and chat to our fishmongers about how to add delicious, easy-to-cook seafood into your menu. Oven and air fryer-ready meals available.
Now it is the second Saturday of the month, so it's time for our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world around this wonderful county of ours. And would you believe it, it's that time of year again. It's time to talk about Culture Night, and I'm delighted to say joining us we have Arts Officer with Kerry County Council, Kate Kennelly, and if that wasn't enough, we have the Assistant Arts Officer as well. We have Hannah Pinkard as well, who is also involved in the Culture Night coordination as well, and we have special guests which we'll talk about very soon as well. But Kate, we better get to it because there's a lot to talk about when we're talking about Culture Night. But what have you been up to so far?
There is, Joe. Since we last talked in August, Joe, I had the pleasure of attending the Battle of the Bands in Killarney. And I just want to say it was absolutely fantastic in terms of the final. Now, all the sessions were really good, but the quality of the bands was just outstanding. And I want to say well done to Clive in the arts office, put in a lot of work, and Michelle Rosny, who's on the Killarney Arts Working Group. But to each and every band member that participated, the standard, Joe, the quality, they were just fantastic. And I think Music Generation Kerry are now looking at starting off a band project, which is going to be really exciting. And the last week, we were at the relaunch of the Pauline Buick collection in Killorglin. Some previously unseen work has been hung. So whilst before there was around 100, 120 pieces of artwork on display, there is now the full 250 pieces, Joe. And it goes, just so your listeners are aware, it goes from the top floor downwards chronologically. So go up to the top and start. And there are these 9 information panels that were put together by Alan Hayes from the National Gallery. And they're just fantastic. They give such context to the artist and her life. So we had a lovely unveiling of this work and I suppose a relaunch of the collection, and all the family were there. And I wanted to say a special thank you. The Killorglin Chamber Alliance and Tidy Towns helped out. And so you had Jennifer Boyle and Dana Hearn. And you also had our own corporate services facilities management. So you had John and his team. There was Josephine, Neilis, Jamie. They all put in such work to this. And we had a brilliant night. The family were delighted. And her granddaughter, Pauline's granddaughter, spoke. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house at the end of it, but it was lovely, Joe. She spoke about her nan and what fun she was, and a great storyteller as well as a brilliant artist. So I'd be encouraging all your listeners.
To go along to it, definitely. And I had the pleasure of visiting Pauline in her house, and what an amazing house it was, like, you know, and just every piece of it was thought out artistically. It's just amazing. But what a character. Yeah. Oh my God, the most charismatic, charming lady I've ever met. It was absolutely brilliant to meet her.
She was.
Yeah, and I know this was highly anticipated as well. Yeah. So it's brilliant that the public now have access to it. So you can just go along whenever you want, or what's the arrangement there?
Well, it's office hours, Joe, so 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Now, if there was any group that wanted a tour outside of that, it could possibly be organised. And of course, we're opening it for Culture Night, and there'll be a lovely event there where people are invited to come in and work with some potters and to respond to Pauline's work. And that took place as well last year, and it was hugely successful. The people had great fun. And also, her work is so inspirational that, you know, people really, really managed to explore their own imagination and respond with something they were very proud of to bring home. So that's part of the Culture Night, which leads us in nicely to Hannah, I think.
Yes, definitely. And like I mentioned earlier, Hannah is with us, Assistant Arts Officer with Kerry County Council, but also Culture Night Coordinator here in Kerry. Hannah, your book must be full the last few months trying to get this done it's such an amazing night, and it gets better every year, doesn't it?
It really does, Joe. Thank you so much. And kind of as Kate kind of highlighted there for the last previous events that have taken place in the art scene in Kerry the last month, it doesn't happen just because of one person. It's many, many people come together. And it was really evident this year with the program that's come together. We have over 60 events throughout the county. And it's great to see a lot of activity happening outside our main towns and in the villages. And I'm delighted to have here today two event organizers who will speak on their events. Susan Motheray, who is hosting an event called The Telling in Seachfainéog, and William Shore, who is doing two events within Cloraglen as part of Storytown. Both very exciting and hopefully encourage more and more people to go out. But yeah, as a Culture Night goes, again this year we have a great activity throughout the county. Tralee, you will find Sheem Satira again will open its doors and have a whole program of events for everyone. We're delighted to see our two of our artists in residence have worked together this summer, Emer Fallon and Jesse Gilbert, on creating poetry films. So they had workshops during the summer in which they invited people to create poetry and then created a film in response to that. And they will be premiering them in Sheem Satira on the night, and that both will be present to speak to people. Alongside later on the evening, Sheem Satira will be the other side, which has some great speakers in conversation. Again, booking is required, but I think it will hopefully be open to many, and I do recommend going out and seeing it. Moving further along the county, we can go out to Castle Island and Corcagrina. Castle Island, it's great to see a homecoming of sorts for a Seconds, which is a play that was part of the Edinburgh Fringe this year. It's by Ciara O'Grady. It was very well received, and I had the pleasure of viewing it myself in the West End House in Killarney earlier this summer, and it was an excellent play. So hopefully many of you get to attend that as well in the Ivy Leaf Centre. So yeah, and then throughout Dingle, as always, it never fails to deliver. There's a huge amount of activity, something for everyone. Again, theatre and drama, musical performances, small street performances and short films. There's something for everyone, something for you to choose from.
Yeah, well, excellent. Yeah. We better go to North Kerry and get the kind of feel of what's going on up there to Susan Motherway. Susan, Tuck Sheemsa has gone from strength to strength as well. I mentioned Culture Night, but things are really coming on leaps and bounds there. So what have you got going on? The Telling, is it? Tell us about it.
Well, I'll tell you now. I've met this man by the name of Paul Murphy inside in our Irish class, and I found out he was not alone a librarian, but he was a playwright. Yes. And he is from Ballyhar, and he likes writing plays which kind of talk about local topics. So last year for Culture Night, he did The Last Post, which was about the closure of post offices, and he held it inside in the Ballymac post office. So I heard then that he had also been trying to write another play, which was a 10-minute play, and it was showcased as part of the Onam Festival in Tralee there. It was part of the Clutch Show, and he wanted to develop this a bit further, and so I prompted him, you develop it and we'll show it on Culture Night, and that's what we're doing here tonight. So this one is his theme is about two ladies trying to find funding for a funeral, and I won't tell you any more about it, but there is so many local references, particularly if you're from Tralee, you're just going to be following over. He already did a reading of this out at the Castle Island Arts Night. They do a great arts night out there once a month. And so I went out, I was amazed at it and delighted at the reception that the reading of this play got. So we're really excited about that. The four actors that he has for this come from High Brazel, so fine actors, Mary Higgins, Siobhan Lowe, George Lowe and John Patton. So it's gone from a 10-minute production to being a 40-minute one. And so then we're going to give the audience a bit of a break. And then we're going to, as we are folk theatre, we're going to bring in more of the folk, and we're going to have a kitchen-style concert. So I have four four more people there. I think that my number is four for some reason at this event. So I have Tom O'Connell on accordion, Kate Mulcahy on fiddle, Kieran Dalton is going to sing and play the guitar, and we have Patrick Brosnan, who not alone is an amazing dancer of the North Kerry style taught by Jimmy Hickey, but he also plays the flute, so you can come along and see that. And if people, it's a kitchen style concert, so if people want to come up from the floor and join in, we are willing and we'd love to see it.
Excellent. And I forgot to say at the start, Culture Night is on September 19th, which is next Friday, just so everyone knows. So can people get tickets or do they just come along, and remind them where it is and when it's on again?
So yeah, we're advertising our tickets there on Eventbrite, and we are one of those rural locations, so we're 3 kilometres outside Listowel, but when you come, the atmosphere and the people make up for everything.
Excellent. Brilliant. What time is it on again?
It's on at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, perfect. So it's Eventbrite there, the Telling. What a wonderful venue for it as well. And you've me sold on it, anyway. Great sales pitch there. Well done, Susan. We're going to go now more south of the county. We're going to go to William Shaw. William, what have you got going on?
Well, it's so great that there's so many things to go and see and be part of, but also so many things where you can actually participate yourself and make stuff. And I'm a writer, and one of the things that I've been in Glorgness, there's so many people I met who are also writers. So what we've set up is that we're doing a writer's workshop around the theme of night. So about writing stories on the theme of night. We've got a wonderful local writer, Juno Sullivan, who lives in Valencia, whose novel, The Lighthouse Keeper's Wife, came out next year. She's an incredibly talented writer. She's going to lead this workshop. So it's basically whether you're an experienced writer or whether somebody you're dipping your feet into it, come along to the workshop and hopefully produce a story that you can tell people. Written story that night. And then later that night, we've got another event. There's a great storytelling event in Glorglen that happens every month with two fantastic storytellers, Bridget Moriarty and Joe Brennan. And it's the most inclusive, warm storytelling session you could ever go to in O'Grady's Bar. So we've co-opted them to lead a storytelling session around the theme of night. And if you've written a story that you're proud of in our writing session with Juno Sullivan, come along, and there'll be a slot in which you can tell the story you've put together there. So it's bringing together sort of artists and would-be artists all in the same place, and an audience to listen to these stories.
Excellent. And remind us of the venue again and the time that will be on both events.
So the workshop is in O'Grady's Bar in Glorglen from 5 to 7pm, and then you get an hour's break. You can go and have something to eat. 8 o'clock, the storytelling session happens also in the Grady's Bar on the 19th.
There's a great kind of, I suppose, environment for writers. Like there always was in this county, but it seems to be really going from strength to strength. I suppose with, you know, Kerry, the Arts Office in Kerry County Council, with the writer in residence, with these workshops and everything, it's really a place for writers to blossom now.
It certainly is. And you mentioned Emer O'Sullivan. I mean, there's so many people making this happen around the county. It's lovely. But, you know, I did some workshops in the library in Glorglen last year, and the level of talent and interest and enthusiasm was off the scale. It was lovely to be part of.
Yeah, they had great poetry collection there as well. And Kevin Griffin, Lord Rest His Soul, was part of that. Nibs, I think, was the writers group there as well. Yeah, absolutely amazing. William and Susan, best of luck with it. Sounds brilliant. And well done to yourselves as well, because it's people like you are needed as well to drive this on. So well done in the work you're doing to get this going as well. Hannah, we'll go to yourself again before we go to our break. You know, this is, myself and Kate keep joking, you have to be kind of omnipresent. You'd want to be able to split yourself into about 1,000 pieces to get around to all these events. But it is, there is something for everyone of all ages, isn't there, on Culture Night in Kerry?
Yeah, there's something for everyone. And the full programme is available from our website. And also online at culturenight.ie/Kerry. We also it will be distributed through the Kerryman as inserts, and it will also, it's in the local libraries. So information is power. That's where you'll find it. And we just encourage everyone to come out and enjoy, maybe try something new, or like rediscover an old passion or.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Project that you'd like to.
Excellent. Kate, what is your strategy on Culture Night? How do you try and get to as many events as you can? Have you an aide-de-com or what do you do?
Well, now you were just talking to her, Joe. So myself and Hannah are splitting up the county, and Emma will be on duty as well on the night. You met Emma there for Cronew. So yeah, just trying to get to as many events, and the elected members, some of them are on duty. So the Cathaoir League of each municipal district will be officiating at an event in their area. And, you know, people really, really appreciate the support from the councillors and to see their interest and commitment to the arts and culture. And it comes back to what you were saying to William in terms of, you know, the county and the level of talent and skill. And it's certainly, it's part of a landscape. If there's levels of experiences in Kerry, the cultural experience is every bit as awe-inspiring as the visual landscape and seascape experience, without question. And it has grown over the years. And, you know, on Culture Night, as Hannah said, you know, everything is free. It's all available. You know, there is pre-booking for some events, but they're free, but just to pre-book. But many events are free. So I'll be going through those with you after some of the bigger events on the streets and so on. And just to go to culturenight.ie, and they can always ring the arts office too, of course, so 066 718 3541. And as Hannah said, the brochures will be in the libraries as well, which is very handy. There's 9 libraries across the county, so just pop into your local one to get the information.
Excellent. Like Kate said, she's going to stay with me to tell us more about Culture Night, but for now, Susan, Hannah and William, thanks a million for joining us this morning, and best of luck with Culture Night.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Supplement your diet with a healthy and fresh dinner option. Fresh seafood from Quinlan's.
With us, and we're talking about Culture Night, because this is Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, and Culture Night is taking place on Friday the 19th, this Friday coming, Kate, and there is lots happening. Tell us more of what else is going on.
There is, Joe. So to move around the county another bit, the Ivra Peninsula is giving the rest of the county a big run for its money this year, I can tell you, your own hometown. And so from Foylmore, Ballinskelligs, Drummond, and also obviously Carsevine as well itself, there is absolutely loads happening. So in Carsevine, it starts at 4 o'clock with an open studio art trail starting in Gunther's Pottery. And there's going to be a talk at 4:15 by Regina Barch in her studio about the role of art in politics. And that's really going to be interesting, Joe, because it can have such a big influence. There's then a talk in Dan's gallery about the art of dissolution. And he talks about the difference between art and design, because they are two separate areas, but they intertwine hugely. So that'll be interesting. Skellig Soap and Photography are having an event as well, and an exhibition. And there's an In Conversation. They're trying to follow in your footsteps, Joe, with Coleman in Quirk's News Agents, and it's about refugees and the word itself and what, you know, the ramifications and I suppose the experiences of people, which will be very interesting. There is a Heritage and History Walk in Carsevine Town starting at the Daniel O'Connell Church at 6 o'clock. And again, we're back to the Liberator's birthday, as you know, is this year, or his birth, I should say, is this year. And then Daniel O'Connell, the great orator, there's going to be a performance at the Nuns Chapel at 7 o'clock by June O'Connell. She's going to take an excerpt from one of his monster speeches, which will be really interesting. Then there's a lovely theatre piece by Hugh Jones in Skellig Theatre in the Old Barracks. And then there's literature, a Culture Night open mic in the Kerry Coast Hotel. And then, as I said, in Foylmore, they're having an evening of local music, song and story from the Binnis Collection. And that's Peter Malarkey is organising that. And then in Drummond, From Earth to Sky, a Bronze Age night casting. That'll be really interesting with Holger Lons. And on Shupadov, then they're going to stay forth. They're going to have a conversation around the Great Famine, and Fiona de Bush is leading on that. So that'll be really, really good as well. And then there's music, Bop Aaron Traw down in Ballinskelligs from 10 o'clock until late. And Evine Lamb is looking after that. So then in Kenmare, there's a lovely band project, Joe, from 5 to 6:30, and Music Generation Kerry are involved in that. And that's the Carnegie Arts Centre. And in Lorrach, there's a cultural festival and it's local set dancing and music in the Lorrach Community Centre. And then Killorglin, we've touched on some of the events, but there's also going to be a lovely exhibition, the Grills Gallery. They're fantastic, as you know, for doing events. And in the fishery, Dara Kinch is doing Develop Your Own Photographs. And he's using a different printing method than people would be used to using. And there's a Celtic quilting as well in Killorglin Library from 2:30 to 4:30. And we went into the writing, didn't we? So there's loads happening. And then on to Killarney, Joe. Can't leave out Killarney. So there's going to be a culture wall out in Muckross House and Gardens with Me and the Moon, where people are encouraged to come and make their own clay tile, responding to the theme of your own culture, identity, diversity and so on. And there's theatre workshops in the West End House School of Arts, which will be fantastic. That's from 5:30 to 9:30. There's a lovely Traveller Heritage Night in the Onham Arts Centre, and that's from 6:00 to 9:00. And it's hosted by the Kerry Traveller Organisation, which will be lovely. And there's going to be, what do they say now? There's going to be, I don't want to get it wrong, is it a barrel top wagon? And there's going to be storytelling and there's going to be some exhibitions and discussions. So that'll be a really nice evening. And then the department in Killarney, who I suppose initiated Culture Night back in the day, they're doing a lovely evening with poetry, music, dance and drag. And that's on from 6:30 to 10:30. So every year it gets bigger, Joe, and the crowds are just fantastic. And then Aisling Gubnet, there's going to be a street performance from 8:00. And just to note to your listeners, there was the time was incorrect in the brochure. There was just needed to be changed. So it's 8:00 starting in College Square in Killarney. So there'll be a performance there. And then Gubnet and her bees and the other performers, there'll be dancers. There's fire and there's going to be musicians and they'll be parading down Plunkett Street onto Main Street and they'll finish up at Market Cross. So that'll be fabulous. There's a lovely screening in Killarney House of The Tactless Wild and that's on at 7:00. And there's another screening by the Kerry International Film Festival called The Blue Road. It's the Edna O'Brien story and that starts at 8:00. And of course, Tim O'Shea, Campala to Killarney, which is your Irish and African fusion folk music, is on from 8:30 to 9:30. And there's an evening with Eleanor McAvoy out at Muckross House. So you do need to pre-book that. And I'm not sure if tickets are still available, but you can certainly check that out on the website. And there is a lovely open air performance with the Killorglin Pipe Band as well. They'll be around the Main Street area. So that's just a flavour of it, Joe. And there's other things outside of Culture Night. So do you have time for them?
I have a minute. I have a minute, Kate. So you, if there's something else you want to get in, you can get it in. My God, there's so much going on. Go on. What else is going on outside of Culture Night?
I'll have to take up jogging again, Joe, to speed up the lungs. Hang on now. So we've already gone into Chalk Shiamsa. So that's going to be really good. There's Shan Nos and set dancing classes. And there's also Ukrainian folk dancing classes. And tickets are available from Chalk Shiamsa Fionnuaig on Eventbrite. The Listowel International Storytelling Festival runs from the 18th to the 21st. They're having fabulous events for Culture Night as well, forgot to mention that, hosted by Kerry Writers Museum. And of course St John's are doing a great Culture Night as well, and I think Christie's are hosting Hand in Hand, Step by Step, a lovely free lecture series by Catherine Foley at Chalk Shiamsa as well on Fridays at 8 p.m. and goes into the traditions, history and culture of Irish dance and so on. The Connecting Kerry's Wildlife, there's a Hedgerows and Trees in the Kingdom Hedge School in Rossbay on the 20th and Waterville on the 27th with artist Emily Fitzell, and that's under our Creative Ireland programme. And in partnership with VAI, which is Visual Artists Ireland, we're hosting an in-person artist and curator networking session on the 3rd of October in Shiamsa Tíre. It's free, but people do need to pre-book. There'll be presentations by curators Angela O'Kelly, Rain Booth and Aisling Clark on the artist and curator partnership, securing and delivering exhibitions and getting over challenges of trying to do that, because it can be very challenging. And then Music Generation Kerry are helping us with our integration project and the County Library. So we have issued a bit of a call out, Joe. We are looking for harps. There's a high demand for harps through that library instrument bank. So if anyone has any harps to donate, we'd be delighted to get them. And I think that's it now, Joe. Just if anyone's looking for anything, go to Kerry Co-Arts on all social media and give us a ring anytime.
Excellent. Well, geez, you'd want to go for a bop on the traw after that, I think, to relieve the energy. That was excellent, Kate. Brilliant. Culture Night is on this Friday. Make sure to go out and support these wonderful events. Like you can see there, a lot of time has gone into them. So make sure to check them out. At least go to one thing that's on in your locality and support these wonderful artists and people that are organising it. It's a great time to celebrate the wonderful culture we have in this county. Kate, as always, thanks a million for coming on, and we look forward to speaking to you next month for How Culture Night Went.
Thank you, and well said, Joe, because it comes from the people. So thank you to everyone who's helping out. Thank you so much.
That's all we have time for on the programme this morning. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. Francis is on the way, so keep it here on Radio Kerry. I'll be back again next Saturday from 9 a.m. Until then, look after yourself and take care.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry, because at least one day of the weekend should involve someone else doing all the cooking. Order your delicious takeaway from Quinlan's today.